William's men will be too busy coping with the unreal to interfere until it's too late. By the time I finally close the gateway, my people will control Casa Midnight, and I'll be hailed as a hero. And my rule will begin.
You take care of Dominic, Your Highness.
Gawain turned to stare at the gateway.
I'll take care of this abomination.
I'm afraid I really can't allow that.
In a single movement, Dominic stood and kicked at Gawain's axe.
Now, old man, let's see how good you are without a magic axe to protect you.
Fine. You want to be killed by my bear?
Have you ever considered how much of the human body is water?
Fat beads of sweat formed on Gawain's face and flew away in steady streams.
Water I can control, actor, by my magic. In fact, have you ever considered what a man would look like after every drop of water in him had been drained away?
Jordan didn't hesitate. He grabbed a flare pellet from his sleeve. Dominic had just enough time to spot the object coming toward his face. Flames roared up and around the prince's face, and his hair caught on fire.
Now, handle the gateway!
Jordan ran over to the gateway, sword in hand. He raised his sword and tried to figure out where to strike for the best. Victor's memories of Elizabeth swam in his head, and he felt a compulsion to sob. The churning lights, shining deep in the gutted body, pulled at his eyes, mesmerizing him. And then Jordan looked up, and his gaze met the mad eyes in Elizabeth's face, and he knew what he had to do.
I'm sorry, my lady.
The insane light went out of her eyes as her head left her body. Blood welled from the gateway in a steady stream, and in the blink of an eye, the gateway vanished. The body hanging on the wall was just a body. Lady Elizabeth's head lay still on the floor. Jordan turned to Dominic. He was leaning against the wall by the door. He'd put out the flames by conjuring up water, but not before the fire had done its worst. Half his hair was gone, and his face was horribly disfigured. There was a drifting smell of burned meat in the air. Dominic peered at Jordan with his one good eye and raised a shaking hand in a mystical gesture. Gawain found his axe and rose to face Dominic.
I wouldn't do anything rash, Dominic. No, on second thought, do. Try attacking us when I've got my axe.
Dominic paused, then smiled at Jordan, his teeth horribly white against the scorched and blackened flesh of his face.
I'll watch you die by inches for this, actor!
Always has to have the last word, your brother.
Weapons put away, Gawain glanced briefly at what was left of the Lady Elizabeth.
Poor lass. I never liked her, but no one should have to die like that.
Let's get out of here. I'm so tired, I'm asleep on my feet.
I'd forgotten just how hectic life can be at Castle Midnight. You'd better grab some sleep while you can, Your Highness. We've closed the gateway, but it's only a matter of time before the Unreal grows strong enough to break through on its own. And we still don't know how much damage Dominic's troops have done under cover of the chaos.
Oh, doesn't this place ever quiet down? I've appeared in murder mysteries that were less complicated than this.
And the only way this castle will ever know peace is when there's a king on the throne. That's the truth you always have to remember here. Castle Midnight needs a king. Any king. All right, let's go. And Jordan, I wouldn't mention Elizabeth's death to Victor. Not just yet. It had better be our secret for the time being.
Jordan nodded, and he and Sir Gawain left the room and made their way back down the corridor. The Unreal was gone, and the West Wing was nothing more than cold stone and worn lamplight. There was a peaceful stillness to the air, like the calm after a thunderstorm has passed. Jordan felt a slow wave of tiredness moving through his body as tense muscles gradually unwound. But even so, he wasn't fooled by appearances. Behind the air of normality, the Unreal was still there, waiting.
So what if I'm hurt? So is everybody else.
Yes, but wait.
What?
Look, coming over the barricade. It's Prince Victor and Sir Gawain. They've come back.
Jordan and Sir Gawain returned to the barricade to an adoring crowd. Captain Doyle and his men were looking after the exhausted steward and Mother Donna, while the guards applauded Jordan. Gawain took it all rather brusquely, but Jordan was in his element. It had been a while since he'd known adulation like this, and he intended to enjoy it while it lasted. He clapped Doyle on the shoulder and smiled magnanimously at the guards.
The gateway has been destroyed.
You should have a slightly easier time of it for a while, Stuart.
Taggart looked at him and moved forward to stand before him.
You saved my life, Your Highness. Hell, you saved all our lives. I don't know what happened while you were in exile, but I thank God for it. You've come back a fine and honorable man, Victor. And I'm proud to serve under you.
She drew her sword and raised it in the ancient warrior's oath of fealty. The guards all raised their swords, too. One by one, they knelt and bowed their heads to Jordan. Captain Doyle and Captain Blood knelt with their men, their faces proud and glowing and just a little awed. Taggart, Damon Cord, and Mother Donna sank to one knee and bowed their heads. Jordan had a strong feeling that things were starting to get out of hand. He looked to Sir Gawain for advice and found the knight was kneeling too. Jordan looked away and found Wee Geordi and the Bloodhound looking at him worshipfully. He swallowed hard and waved weakly at them all.
Thank you, my friends. I only did my duty. Now, get up, please.
They got to their feet, adulation and respect still shining from their faces. Jordan felt decidedly nervous. Without quite knowing how, he'd raised a spirit here that wouldn't easily be dispelled, and he had no business doing so. He wasn't a prince, just a paid actor doing his job. He looked almost wildly about him for a distraction, and his gaze fell on Geordi and the Bloodhound. An idea that had been simmering at the back of his mind for some time finally settled into shape, and he walked over to the two ghosts.
Geordi, I think I know how we can find your mother for you. Do you know what kind of a dog this is? He's a bloodhound, bred and trained specially to track people by their scent. If we can just find something that used to belong to your mother, I think this clever dog might be able to lead us right to her.
Oh, Victor!
Jordan returned Geordi's hug, feeling tears forming in his eyes. No child should have to endure what Wee Geordi had gone through for so many years.
I beg pardon for intruding, Your Highness, but might I have a word with you?
Of course, Gawain.
Jordan eased himself free from the young ghost's embrace.
I won't be a moment, Geordi, and then we'll make a start.
He moved over to Sir Gawain.
Are you sure you know what you're doing? The Lady Mary of Fenbrook has been dead and buried for centuries. How is a bloodhound going to reunite her with her ghostly son?
Because the dog's dead as well. He's a ghost bloodhound.
Sir Gawain looked at the dog and then at Jordan.
One of these days I'm going to learn to stop asking you questions. You always come up with such disturbing answers. Very well, sire. If you're serious about this, you'll find a gold locket on a chain that once belonged to the Lady Mary in the old museum. It's here in the West Wing, just four corridors along and clearly marked. You can't miss it.